Take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 9. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. So good to see all of you tonight. Thank you for being faithful on a kind of cold, blistery night. And I want to thank Pastor as well, as Brother Tony this morning, for the opportunity to preach. As staff members, we don't take this lightly. And we are thankful that we have a pastor that trusts us, that loves us, and it gives us an opportunity to preach. And I'll be honest with you, I'd be much more happier sitting out there listening than I would be up here preaching tonight. But I'm thankful for the opportunity and thankful that Pastor wants to let his staff guys preach and get something. So thank you, Pastor. I love you. I appreciate you. And I just want to say as well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to serve at this great church. And thank you for how kind and loving you've been to me and my family. And during the time of Thanksgiving, which as Pastor preached last Sunday morning, and as Brother Tony preached this morning, Thanksgiving is really a time to reflect on just how God has been good to us. And I hope that maybe you've done that. Have you done that? I know you've maybe told your family how much you're thankful for them and how much you love them and how much it's great to be with them. At least I hope that that's the case. But, during the time of Thanksgiving is a time just to give thanks and to reflect and to remember the things that God has done for you and that other people have done for you. So in the last several weeks, I've been kind of meditating and thinking about a song. I know Brother Tony mentioned a song this morning, and we should always have a song in our heart, isn't that right? And I've been meditating over that song, The Goodness of God. The Goodness of God. I've been singing it to myself. The words have been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Do you reflect about that any time during your day, during your week? I hope that you do. So tonight I want to preach just a very simple message entitled The Kindness of God. The Kindness of God. Goodness and kindness are inseparable. I kind of think that they are the two sides of the same coin. I'll talk a little bit about that, I want to talk to you tonight about the story that we find in the Old Testament here in 2 Samuel chapter 9. You know it. Preacher preached about it back just a few months ago, and I sure enjoyed it. It's something I've really been just concentrating on and meditating on. The goodness of God, the kindness of God. So let's look in our Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and look with me in verse number 1. Let's read this entire chapter. The Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba, And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame. To him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, thy servant. David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have good food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Father, I do need your help tonight. I desire your filling of the Spirit tonight as I preach. Lord, I pray that you direct my thoughts. Lord, for many months I've been thinking about this passage and meditating upon it. Lord, you've opened my eyes about the kindness of God and how I need to reciprocate that in my own. And I pray that I'll be a help and encouragement to these people tonight. I love you. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever thought about what is maybe the greatest of kindness that someone has ever given to you? I think back about one of the greatest acts of kindness that was given to me was when Nikki said yes when I asked her to marry me. I don't know if it was kindness or pity, to be honest with you. I've received many acts of kindness in my life. A lot coming from friends long ago. A lot coming from many of you, which I'm very thankful for. Gifts, favors, blessings. And really the list is too many to say. But tonight I want us to talk about the kindness of God. And whether we acknowledge it or not, every person here has been blessed by the kindness or the goodness of God. And we need to recognize that. And His kindness is seen all around us. And we all need to, what we all need to do is we need to look for it. We need to look at it. We are often thought about that people do acts of kindness for us maybe once in a while, and we say thank for it, and we do maybe an act of kindness to somebody, and we kind of go on our day. But really it is something that we really need to think about all the time. Why? Because the Bible says that one of the fruits of Spirit is goodness, which is also kindness. It's not just something we do as a random act. It is something that we ought to do all the time. It's something that ought to be in our DNA. It is something that we ought to strive to be in our daily interactions with others, especially our brothers and sisters. And Brother Tony told me to say that. It's not necessarily when we feel like it or when someone else has done it to us, but it's something that we need to do always in thinking, because why we do it because of Christ. In our story here tonight, we see an encounter in King David's life. And in studying this, I see an example here of kindness. One commentator has said that this is David's golden moment. It wasn't the slaying of David. It wasn't the sin with Bathsheba or the other things that he did. This was David's golden moment because of the fact that this moment here that we see from God's word was the one moment that we could see how David was a man after God's own heart. You know, the kindness and love that Jesus demonstrated toward us is not something we deserve. And by the way, that's what kindness really is. It's the giving of something to someone that doesn't necessarily deserve it. Now, the story here of Mephibosheth and King David is really a story of God's redemption to a lost son, bringing him home, much like the prodigal son that we see in the New Testament. And it really demonstrates for us, God demonstrated his kindness in his provision and care for all of creation. God demonstrated his kindness in his forgiveness and salvation through Christ, which we can gladly have. And aren't you glad for the kindness of God that allowed you to be saved tonight? Aren't you thankful for that? It's kind of been the theme for the last couple of weeks, thankfulness. And I feel like that this message on kindness kind of reciprocates what you do with your thanksgiving. And that is, you do what? You show kindness. It's cultivated. Kindness is to be cultivated and reflected by the people through interactions with others. So tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to speak on here from 2 Samuel chapter 9 about kindness that cares, a kindness that comforts, and a kindness that continues. Let's look back in chapter 9 and look at verse number 1, and let's look first at a kindness is a compassion that cares. Realize this, that kindness begins with a heart that cares. It begins with a heart that cares. Did you notice there that it talked about the kindness of God? I looked up that phrase, the kindness of God, and that's the only place right here that this is mentioned. It's also mentioned, not necessarily in the same word, but it's mentioned in the New Testament in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, where it talks about that our works are not of righteousness which we've done. Why? Because kindness is something that is given to those people that are undeserving of it. And by the way, aren't we undeserving of the gift of salvation that God has given us? Aren't we undeserving of anything that God gives us, from any blessing that He gives us? We are undeserved. We don't deserve it. The only good that comes to us is from what God gives us. And the Bible says that every good and every perfect gift comes from where? From above. And I'm thankful for that. But here in 2 Samuel, in chapter 7, David asked, what can I do for God? And what did he do? In the later chapters of chapter 8, he begins talking about building a temple, a house for God. And then in chapter 8, he then talks about another question that we should ask ourselves is, what can I do for others? He asks the question, hey, what can I do for God? And then he turns around and says, what can I do for others? And then we see here, David then goes on to remember a covenant that he had made with Saul and also with Jonathan 15 years before this, and especially with Jonathan, his very best friend. Now, David's question here in verse 1 showed a very great love, because remember, Saul was his enemy. And David had told Saul that, listen, I will not destroy your family. I will not destroy your family. And then David goes on and he went against the principle of revenge and against the principle of self-preservation and asked what he could do for the family of his enemy. Isn't it remarkable that David had concern and care for his enemy? Doesn't the Bible teach the principle of love our enemies? Love those that do harm to us? It does. And David asked, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And David did this because he remembered that relationship that he had with Jonathan. And let me say this, that his actions were not based upon feelings, but it was based upon a promise of a covenant. Now, look back in verse number 1. The Bible says, and David said, is there yet any in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, the servant is he. And I want you to notice something very interesting here in verse number 3. And the Bible says, and the king said, is there not yet any in the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son. Did you notice here that he didn't call him Mephibosheth? What did he call him? Well, notice what it says here, which is lame on his feet. Which was lame on his feet. He looked at his condition instead of looking at the person. So many times when we want to do kindness for someone, we want to do kindness for someone who deserves kindness. Instead of doing something for someone that doesn't deserve it. Now, if we're going to live by the fruit of the Spirit and being part of goodness, then we are to reciprocate. It's kind of like it's the good for evil principle. It's really what we ought to try to do. And David's actions here were not based upon feelings, but it was based upon a promise. David didn't care that he was a cripple. David just wanted to show kindness to him because of his relationship, his covenant relationship that he had with Jonathan. Psalm 117, verse number 2 says, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. Oh, isn't that great? His merciful kindness is great toward us. And then, of course, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath done what? Forgiven you. You see, true kindness notices needs. True kindness is grace put into action. Kindness is not something that Christians do as a random act. Kindness is a lifestyle of a loving people. We need to remember that. I've read, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not as if it's not puffed up. This is what I'm trying to say is this. Kindness is not passive, it's proactive. It's not passive, it's proactive. I remember hearing the story, some of you may have read it on the news or heard about it on the news from West Texas. There was a football game a couple of weeks ago. And during that football game, there was 22 seconds left between Wink High School and Sundown High School. The score was 40-6. The outcome of the game, of course, was already decided. Wink was preparing to take a knee and end the game. And the coach, by the name of Brian Gibson, called a timeout and approached the Sundown coach. And they met at midfield, just like they were doing a coin flip. The people thought, this is kind of strange. The referees were kind of thinking, man, this is strange. What are they talking about? They're going to go ahead and just quit the game right now? No, what was happening is that the coach from Wink had noticed a Sundown player by the name of Colt McDaniel. He had a medical condition that severely limited his ability to play, but is in the game for a special moment to be recognized and appreciated by the home crowd. Gibson proposed that his team intentionally allow McDaniel to score a touchdown. The teams agreed, and on the next play, the coach had told the Wink football coach, had told the quarterback and the running back to fumble the ball, and fumble the ball on purpose, and told the rest of his players, don't jump on the ball, but you let Colt McDaniel grab that ball and run into the end zone and score a touchdown. Worked perfectly. Everybody was yelling and screaming. The crowd was going wild that this young man had scored a touchdown who was so loved and revered. And let me say this. That was a powerful example of kindness transcending the final score of that game. Listen to me. Sometimes we have to look for areas that we need to be kind. Just like we need to look for areas to be thankful about this and to this and this, we need to look ways that we need to be kind, because that should be our DNA as Christians, to be kind to other people, not when just when we feel like it, but to be have a heart of kindness always. We need to have a heart, we need to have kindness and that is compassion that cares. Number two. There's only three. Secondly, we need to have a kindness is a conduct that comforts. A conduct that comforts. I want you to look with me in let's go down to verse number 6 and 7. So we see that David is sent for Mephibosheth. He sent a group of people to go pick him up and his family. He brings him back. Keep in mind that any time during the Old Testament times when there was a change of kings, the incoming king would then most likely have the whole family killed so there would not be a revolt. So you can kind of think about what was going on in Mephibosheth's mind here. All right, King David has found out where I'm at. He sent the guys after me. He's going to bring me back to the palace, and I am toast. I'm dead. So you know that the apprehension that was going through his mind and going through his heart, man, I'm about to die. I mean, there's no hope for me. But that's not what happened, was it? Look verse number 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And I want you to notice here in verse number 7, I love this. And David said unto him, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. It was a conduct that comforts. He says, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And then he goes on to tell him he's going to restore unto him the land that Saul had had, and he was going to eat continually at his table. Listen, kindness is more than an emotion, it's an action. A gentle word, a helping hand, or a patient response can soothe wounds and bring peace to troubled hearts. I can tell you, Mephibosheth was troubled. He thought he was going to die. And David said those two words that I knew had to be very comforting to him. Fear not. Mephibosheth, don't worry about anything. Now keep in mind, Mephibosheth did not know of the covenant that David had made with Jonathan 15 to 20 years ago. David remembered it. David remembered the promise that he made to Jonathan. David remembered the promise that he made to God. Nobody else probably remembered it and knew about it, but David did. And he was going to make true on his promise. And then the Bible says he fell on his face. In fact, twice in verse number 6, the Bible says he fell on his face. And then verse number 8, it says that he bowed himself. Now keep in mind, We don't know whether or not he was in a wheelchair or on crutches, because remember back in chapter 4, verse 4, he was crippled when they found out that Jonathan and Saul had died in battle, and they probably thought that they were going to be attacked even there where that. So Mephibosheth's nurse or his caretaker picked him up, and obviously in trying to run out, she tripped over something carrying him and fell on him and maybe broke his ankles or broke his legs or something. We don't know, but we know that he had to have help getting there. And twice we see that it says that he bowed himself and that he fell on his face. And then notice, I love this too, in verse number 8 it says, "Why is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I?" Old pastor talked to us back just a few weeks ago about what the idea. Now, dogs were not pets back during the Jewish times, you know, not like today, all right? I mean, you were a dog, you were the scum of the earth, okay? And notice what he says here. "What is thy servant thou shouldest look?" Did you notice that David didn't even answer that question? He didn't even answer. What did he say? "Then the king called Ziba and thy sons and said, I have given unto thee thy master's servant." You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. You remember he went out and he got in the hog's pen, and then he finally came to himself and he started talking about, "Well, what am I going to say to Dad?" In fact, we're told the story in the book of Luke. He says, "I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against thee and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." The son gets home, and what does the dad not let the son say? "Make me as one of thy hired servants." Why? Because he was a son. And what David did in showing kindness to Mephibosheth is that he made him a son. Just like Jesus, when he saved us, he brought us into his home and to heaven one of these days, and he makes us a son. And there is no greater kindness in the world than what Jesus showed to us when he made us a son. Oh, what great kindness. Grace and kindness does that. Leo Tolstoy, the Russian writer, was walking along a street one day when he passed a common beggar. The man pleaded with Tolstoy for some money. And as the great writer searched his pockets for a coin, he said, "Please do not be angry with me, my brother, but I have nothing with me. If I did, I would gladly give it to you." The beggar, seemingly stunned by the reply of Tolstoy, he replied, "Dear sir, you have given me more than I could ask. For you have called me brother." Did you notice that where David brought Mephibosheth? And by the way, if you look up the word Mephibosheth, it means dispeller of shame. Where did he bring him from? He brought him from Lodabar. If you look up that, that means a place of no pasture. Really, honestly, it's a good word picture of Mephibosheth's condition, of where David brought him from to where he brought him to. And it's just like where God brought us to where we are now, as we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and now we're a child of the King who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. One author said this, "Kindness is a language the dumb can speak, the deaf can hear, and the blind can see." Listen to me. Sinners are more apt to hear the gospel through the voice of kindness. We are not only instructed to lead men to Christ, we are instructed to love people to Christ. That's what kindness is. When you can't give a coin, give something greater. Give kindness. Psalm 119:76 says this, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant." Number three, and last, kindness is a commitment that continues. A commitment that continues. Look with me in verse number 7 and notice what it says here. David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and I will restore thou the land of thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table. And what's the word there? Continually. Continually. Verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, Why is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I? And then look, I want you to go down to verse number 10. You'll notice it says, shall eat bread alway at my table. In verse number 13, notice, he dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. What am I saying? That commitment to kindness is something that lasts continually. Continually. Kindness isn't supposed, as I said, well, it's not supposed to be a random act. I mean, we hear random acts of kindness and it makes big news, but it shouldn't be making big news. It should be something we do all the time. And by the way, it doesn't have to be financial. It doesn't have to be a financial gift. It can be a lot of things. In fact, I've wrote down some things. Let me give you some things real quick in closing. It could be giving compliments. It could be expressing gratitude. It could just simply be open a door for somebody. It could be smile. You could just smile. Just smile. Smile at strangers. It's really interesting when you smile at strangers sometimes. What? Offer to help somebody. Say thank you. Say hello. Write a card. Write a letter, as Brother Tony talked about this morning. You know, Nikki and I were out doing some Christmas shopping yesterday, and we made a mistake. We went to the mall. And as we were walking around, I just thought about, Earl, be kind, be kind. Be kind, because there were people that had frowns on their face. I guess they were spending so much money, I don't know. But we walked up to one of the security guards at one of the stores there. And I said, hey, how are you today? And it's like the person's complexion totally changed. And we sat there for about 5 minutes and talked to this security guard. I said, hey, how's your day going? Has it been busy today? I mean, have you had to arrest anybody today? You know? And what happened is it really changed. I said, listen, I want you to have a Merry Christmas. And she said, you have a Merry Christmas too. I went one place and said, Happy Holidays. I said, not to me it isn't. It's Merry Christmas. And they just smiled and said, Merry Christmas. It's just kindness that we ought to recipient. Now, what does kindness do for the recipient? What does kindness do for a recipient? Well, it boasts happiness. When you're kind to someone, what does it do? It boasts happiness for that person. It can elevate a mood. It can elevate the mood of the recipient, leading to increased feelings of happiness and joy and satisfaction. It reduces anxiety and depression. You want to get rid of anxiety and depression? Be kind. That's what you can do. It strengthens social connections. Hey, when you're kind to somebody, what does that do to that person you're kind to? It makes a relationship, doesn't it? It makes that relationship. Now, what does kindness do for the person that is kind? It not only reduces the anxiety of the recipient, it also releases the anxiety of the person doing the kindness. Why? Because it's really hard to be anxious and worrying when you're really trying to be kind to somebody else. It really does. It strengthens relationships. It rewards obedience. You know what? The Word of God says that the reward for obedience is obedience. And some of you are going to have to scratch your head and think, man, what in the world does that mean? But think about that. What is the reward for obedience? It's obedience. Can I put it in another vernacular? The reward for obedience is blessing. The more we're obedient, the more we're blessed. And the Bible gives us the command, be ye kind one to another. Isn't that right? And the Bible also tells us that we also ought to, in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Isn't that right? Something else that kindness will do for the person being kind, it creates a ripple effect. Now, I know I've kind of hounded on random acts of kindness and how those are not supposed to, that we shouldn't be random, and we ought to do them, but it shouldn't be just something we seldom do. It's something we always want to do. And again, it doesn't have to be financial. It can be something simple as a letter or a card or a text or something like that. But let me tell you something. Kindness can be reciprocated. It ought to create a ripple effect. You've heard of the story. You've heard it of doing what? Paying it forward. Paying it forward. Listen, kindness is contagious. When we live with compassion, conduct, and commitment, we reflect the heart of Christ and inspire others to do the same. So let me ask you tonight in closing, is there anybody in the world? Is there anybody in your family? Is there anybody in your workplace? Is there anybody just you happen to be around at any time that you can show kindness to for Christ's sake? For His sake. I hope you'll think about that tonight. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 tells us that the goodness or the kindness of God leadeth to repentance. When we really look at what God has done for us, I think we ought to be, number one, grateful. But number two, we ought to be so grateful that we reciprocate that in the way of goodness and kindness. Maybe you're here tonight, and as we enter the season of celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not trying to be funny, but maybe you've been a Grinch. Maybe you haven't been kind. And I'll say this, being a Grinch will steal your Christmas. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your happiness. But I'm thankful that the kindness of God lead us to repentance. Why don't you come tonight to this altar? Maybe ask God for somebody that you can show that kindness to. Maybe it's a lost person. Maybe it's a saved person. Maybe it's somebody that the Lord has put into your life that you've thought about, that maybe I need to start showing kindness to them instead of unkindness. If the Lord spoke to you tonight, I pray you do something about it. As we stand, Father, we thank you so much for the story of David and how he showed your kindness to Mephibosheth and how that was reciprocated. And Lord, I pray that we'd all take the challenge tonight that we all need to be kind, not just randomly, but really allowed to be part of our DNA. I pray that we'd all search our hearts tonight to see whether we're kind or whether we're unkind. And Lord, that you'd get the glory for it, and we could really see people reach through the love of Christ given through kindness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Corey begins the invitation. What about you tonight? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you received His gift of kindness to you? If not, boy, what a great night to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe tonight you've been a Grinch. you haven't been, you haven't been kind. I know sometimes we get frustrated, angry about things are gone, and we can really say some very unkind things that we really don't mean. But remember, where those come from is from our heart. And are we living by the fruits of the Spirit? Are we living by the lust of the flesh? Our comfort or someone else's joy? As Brother Corey sings, if God's spoken to you, you come.